This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is the fourth and final part of a series about iFloor, the online retailer. My guest is the president of that organization. His name is Steve Simonson. When you first looked at this idea, was the prime, one of the prime reasons, or the prime reason to have these brick-and-mortar stores as a pickup point, as a place that the consumer could get, or at least have the installer pick up a huge roll of carpet, say?
Well, I think it's a part of it, but there's, you know, in our testing, it's pretty evident that we have a national brand that influences an awful lot of flooring, and there's always the early adopters who will interface with the online business and, you know, participate in a chat with our agents or pick up the telephone and call them and talk to them, and that's fine for early adopters, but there's an equal... there's a much larger segment that are saying, hey, I love this for information, and if you were near me, I would just drive over and I would say hi to you and I'd write you a check. And it's proving itself out that, you know, the more we can carry the brand, you know, into different geographies, the larger our presence, the larger the profit in that category or that particular geography becomes. So the two work very well hand in hand,
and it opens you up to a much larger segment of the consumer audience out there.
Sure, I think you know, you're outside of just the straight early adopters and people who want to figure out how to get the floor done themselves, and into, you know, people who say, oh yeah, I'm close to you, and then they drive in, you know, for an hour away, 2 hours away to see us, and they either pick up the product or arrange installation through us.
I gotcha. Where are these locations primarily? I mean, are we talking prime retail locations? Are we talking industrial areas? Where are they located normally in the cities that you're involved with?
Well, the real estate market in commercial is very interesting, and it changes by geography. And again, it depends on the type of location. If it's our first entry in the market, it's traditionally going to be more of an industrial situation, because we need both the logistics aspect as well as the customer-facing aspect of the business. But again, as the market progresses, they become more traditional, Main Street retail. And, the real estate piece itself may be traditional, but the experience and what we offer inside is anything but traditional.
I see. How about the size? You say it varies appreciably from some of the ones you have, among the ones you have?
Yeah, I would think that 3,000 to 5,000 feet is probably a pretty good average. But we have, you know, distribution centers as high as 60,000 feet, and I think our smallest location is 2,500 feet.
I see. But more and more of these, as you go forward, will be basically typical retail stores, it sounds like.
Well, as I say, you know, from a real estate perspective, Main Street retail, normal retail is one thing. But when you walk inside, it's anything but traditional retail. We do things a lot different. We don't put showrooms up that are fancy. Rarely do we have flooring on the actual floor. We use concrete. And it's the experience from our passionate people's perspective. I mean, that we just have some great people in the store. That's where we figure we can differentiate ourselves.
I see. What products do you normally feature at these locations? I mean, is this primarily private label products, that, you know, I4 private label programs or products rather?
Not necessarily. I mean, again, some of it is geographic, some of it is opportunity buys. But there are a number of manufacturers that are represented, in a lot of the stores, and it just depends on, the merchandising cycle that particular store is in. So there are many mainstream manufacturers displayed in the store. In some cases, the brand may be private, but it's still produced by a mainstream manufacturer. And in other cases, it could be just your run-of-the-mill brand name that everybody has.
I see. Steve, what are your plans long-term? I mean, are we going to see iFloor as a sort of a lumber liquidator type of operator with these bigger stores? Or what do you see long-term?
Well, I think those guys are doing a nice job over there. I like Tom and his team a lot. They're good people. But, you know, I think we're a little bit different. We're definitely more service-driven in terms of offering the complete package. So, you know, I would say the evolution of creating a national brand, which I think Lumber Liquidators has done a nice job of, has been the same road that we've been on for many years. I-Floor does have a reasonable brand awareness, you know, across the U.S., much easier for us to open locations in areas with that being the case. And so, you know, the future, we'll see. You know, we expect to continue to expand and listen to our customers. If they tell us to open in a region, in an area, we try to respond and get something open there as quick as we can.
So the areas that you've really opened are the areas where you've really done the most business, or done a great deal of business anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty logical to say, you know, open in your areas of strength first.
Sure.
And then, you know, continue to go from there. We are very fortunate to be a data-rich environment. We have more data than we could know what to do with at times, and that helps us make decisions. It helps us tell us what our customers are surfing for on the internet, tells us what they're buying, tells us what colors they're interested in, and it really does give us a leg up.
I see. So then you go into these areas, you open one location, and then you increase that up to whatever you see as the demand in that particular market area, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 stores, whatever.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
I see. Do you do advertising in these areas other than online advertising?
Again, it's, you know, it's an evolving situation. Traditionally, we have not done very much offline advertising, but I suspect over the course of the next couple of years, we will continue to engage in, you know, very precise campaigns on a local basis. We've done some testing of this over the past couple of months, and it's been extraordinarily successful, far beyond my expectations. So I would expect you know, continued testing and really figuring that out. But again, it's a two-front approach, both online and offline.
I got you. How many stores do you expect I-Floor will ultimately have?
A lot. I really don't know the hard number, but more than we have now. How about that?
I see. Well, that's good. I mean, you're 30 now, and that really, over this last year, you've really put it into high gear, it seems.
Yeah, roughly in the end of 2004, we had one store. At the end of 2005, we had something like two. At the end of 2006, we had somewhere around, I'm even losing track, somewhere around 12, maybe 15. And by the end of this year, it should be somewhere around 40 or above.
So then, at least for the appreciable future, you're going to be growing somewhere at the same rate you've been growing here in the latter part of this year, 2007.
Ideally, you know, the retail market, I think, is it got some home building you know, pressure on it. It's got some subprime interest pressure. You know, the interest rate's kind of ticking upwards, but we see no reason to slow down. We think we should continue to expand and in fact accelerate that expansion if we can.
I see. What kind of year has this been so far? There's been a lot of retailers out there that are not having the best years they've ever had, the best year they've had in 2007. What's your experience?
This should be the best year we've ever had.
Interesting. And I suspect we're seeing consumers change their buying habits, and that has to be skewed towards players like I-Floor, I would imagine.
Well, you know, I can't speak to the market at large, but we want to be an alternative to consumers, and we feel like if we listen to the customer and we do the things that we're supposed to do, we'll have the opportunity to earn their business. Ultimately, they make the choice. We don't, and, you know, we serve at their pleasure, and the minute they decide they're going to pick somebody else, we have to adjust our strategy.
I've got you. Well, let me mention, obviously, the site is ifloor.com. Is the blog entry still up that we talked about, the antitrust situation?
Yeah, the blog entries, they always stay. They move farther down the page. But if you go to ifloor.com, you click through to the blog, also accessible at steve.ifloor.com, you can just search for price fixing, and it's easy to find that entry.
Excellent. Well, I would encourage everybody to check that out, and I guess we're going to be probably talking about that a good deal more over the years going forward. Steve, great having you on the program. I'm glad we could snare you.
Yeah, happy to be here, Dave. Appreciate the time.
My pleasure. And we've been talking with Steve Simonson. He is president and CEO of Smooth Corporation. That's the parent company of iFloor.com. And you're listening to Floor Radio.